Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
You say it, I want you to visit our website. We have people all over the country that are plugged in, doing Bible studies. Just heard in somewhere outside of Texas, there's a ladies' Bible study in a church that are gathering around the messages. And so when I say amen, you say amen, right? Amen. All right. So I want you to take a look at that site. Here's the verse that we've been declaring. So I should have everybody close their eyes, right? Say it together. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, thank you again that as we acknowledge that it's your desire to release your favor upon us, Lord, we stand ready to bask in it, for where the favor of the Lord is where the presence of the Lord is, and there is liberty, and we thank you again as we invite you to give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning and around this nation. We claim it together in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated. This whole process of understanding that we've been looking at this year, God says that 2016 is the year of grace and mercy. We've been looking through this as we have dealt with the process of understanding that the bottom line is that God needs us. He needs you in order to accomplish his plan, right? How many people were you used last week? How many people online were used last week? How many people are going to be used this week? And I mean not used up, because this is a time you're supposed to be used up when you get here, right? No. Yeah, you're supposed to get used up so we can fill you up again, right? We don't want you carrying into Sunday morning stuff that you should have given away last week to someone to minister to. And we're seeing, as we've been looking at over these past couple months now, that one of the areas of recognizing that as we come into the fullness of the Lord, we recognize that we become a threat to the enemy. And it's amazing the way we're seeing things unfold. Remember I said that God spoke more, the Lord spoke more about the enemy and hell than he did about heaven. And right now, I mean, you look at the news, there's an occultic sweeping over this nation. Fox's new television program, you know what it's called? The Exorcist. The Russians' new missile, doomsday missile, is called the Satan missile. And you begin to see all that seeming like coincidences. Right now, I mean, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that churches are teaching exorcism. And the reason is that we understand that Scripture says in the last days, the enemy is going to come in and try to do everything he possibly can. I never thought that it would have been through bathrooms, but we can't let our guards down because we're not ignorant of his devices. So when we're talking about the powers of the enemy, I like to explain for those new people and those that are online, we're talking about the victorious side of Christianity. We're not walking around just like sheep being led to the slaughter. God has given to us, and we receive the Holy Spirit in order for us to be that instrument in his hand to set the captive free. And when you understand that at the end times, there's going to be what we see today. And who would have ever thought it? Who would have ever thought, you look back 20 years, and for some of us old people, that we're just speechless as to what's unfolding. But Scripture says that he knows the end from the beginning. And so that we realize that when we see these things beginning to happen, we know that, like I said, there's going to be a new anointing of the Holy Spirit. God needs us. And we see the persecution of Christians around the world and all that's going on. And it says that when you see these things, recognize that the time is coming close. And I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the confrontation between the Lord and the enemy. And what's happening today, all, you know, we used to live in gray area. How many people used to live in gray area? How many people are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Gray area, which is sort of straddling the fence a little bit. You know, it's really not all that God wants me to do, but it's better than what I used to do. And right now, what's happening in the end times, there is literally becoming the gray area is becoming less and less, and pretty soon it's going to be you either this or you're on that side. And it says, you're going to serve somebody. We're going to serve somebody. And we recognize that we are not ignorant, that the Lord says, we win. Turn to somebody and say, we win. And where everyone else around who does not understand the process, we talk about the enemy and whatever, and everybody gets afraid and, you know, oh, we don't want to go into that demonic kind of stuff, whatever. But God says, no, no, no. I want you to realize who you are. Because if he can intimidate us, what's going to happen? We as Christian will allow him free reign. And there are people, the people that we know, family members that desperately, desperately, desperately need to know that there is an answer to life. It's not just existence. I'm going to share some things this morning with you. As we said here, that 2016, the Lord is preparing the church for an unfolding revival, and the church needs to be revived, right? We need to recognize that something more important than just building our widgets or having nice front lawns or all that other, there is a reason why we are down here, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Good. That makes me feel a little bit more comfortable here because you know how insecure I get. An unfolding revival for just the understanding that I said that in the darkest days, God will shine his brightest light. And we've looked at and we've concluded part two last week, how to stop robbery in your life. We were dealing with personal protection and what, in a sense, also known as spiritual warfare. And what we have gone and the number of hits are just fantastic because people don't understand about spiritual warfare. And they can't understand why they're living in depression and discouragement and all kinds of I say there's a demon behind it. And I'm not talking woo-woo either. If there is anything that's outside of God's blessing, there is something behind it to try to motivate us. And the purpose is to shut us down, right? So what we do is we exist in life as opposed to being victorious in life. And the Lord says, no, I've called you to be more than conquerors. I've called you to be not existers. And there's times when all you want to do is just make it through the week. I had somebody tell me this morning, I said, how was your week? Pastor, I made it through. And there are times, but if you look back in the last 10 years, all you've done is just made it through, something's wrong, right? Because God wants us walking in that understanding of the power and the authority that we have, and I'll share more about that. So we're going to be coming up in the next week, the Lord willing, how to deal with your ministry in dealing with spiritual warfare in other people's lives. How many people know some people that are going through all kinds of stuff, right? If you don't, I'll give you a few. There's nothing, as I mentioned, you can't defeat the powers of the enemy by psychology, by medication, by anything. You can't out-talk them. And there's people that are bound, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And those people that we have in our sphere of influence that we know are in that, whatever it is. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But that's what we have been called to set the captive free. We have been called to reveal truth. And if we hold on to truth, then people walk by our lives that God had put divine appointments in our life to be able to speak life into that situation. And what happens? The people just pass by. And God says, do you know how long I've been working on this? You know how long I've been trying to get you to the place where you could be at this place when that person happens to say, be crying or whatever it might be? And what did you do? Now, he doesn't reprimand us. How many know you don't fail the Christian test? Men, you don't fail. That's wonderful. You just get to take it over again. And there are some people that are stuck just doing the same thing over and over again, trying to figure out why they're not getting anywhere. God loves us enough that the whole process of the test is to teach us who we are in Christ and to show that we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. The next area I want to look at this morning is what I'm calling the power of communion. Now, we do communion not on a regular basis. Whenever the Lord wants to have us deal with communion, we receive it. Pat and I receive it all the time, and I've taught you, and we've got information about how to have personal communion or with your family. But this morning, as we're couching this in the understanding of what it means to recognize that everything that the Lord spoke about was about gaining victory. And a lot of times, what we take as sacraments or whatever, right now, I'm going to tell you, this is warfare. The power of communion is something very important that most Christians have any idea that it's part of the process. The reason I use the word power, and it would be the Greek word that's exousia, which means authority. So what I'm dealing with now is the authority of communion. And many have taken communion. Those listening do not understand that this is part of defeating the powers of the enemy. And from my background, from my Catholic background, we received communion every time we went to Mass. And the understanding was right, that what we were doing, we were acknowledging the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means, too. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ to take away our sins so that we could accept him as Savior and be part of the kingdom of God. And that's very important, and that's exactly what it is. But there's an element that I want to teach you about this morning, about how important this is. So the Last Supper, Jesus said this, and this is the context, the narrative, John 6:47 and 51. I tell you the truth, who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. How many know that's pretty good food, right? Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then Matthew 26, 27, and 28 says this, he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That this particular narrative was at the time, which we call the Last Supper. And Jesus said something very important. Do this to remember me. How many know we have a tendency to forget things? How many people can remember my message of last week? Okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, right? But it's amazing how we have to hear some things over and over again. I must have done, in the 38 years of ministry, I don't know how many times of communion, how many communion times I've ministered. It's an important part. But I also recognize that because God's word is unfolding, the application for today is a lot different than it was last year or 2 years or 5 years ago. We're no longer just dealing with the understanding of forgiveness, because you have been forgiven. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been forgiven, and you will not be judged for sin again. And that's a wonderful, somebody say hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. We will never stand before God for sin, because the sin has already been judged by Jesus Christ at the cross. And that's what Paul says. If his sacrifice on the cross, his death on the cross, were not sufficient to cover our sin, then Jesus died for nothing. And that was the whole understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament. They offered sacrifices every year. And the sin offering that they laid their hands on an animal, and there would be the impartation of sin onto this animal who would be sacrificed. And all of that, as you know, was a representation of Jesus Christ's death. They didn't understand it, but the revelation we have is. So what Paul is saying, we no longer have to go through those sacrifices, because now the sacrifice, one, that's it. There's no longer any need for sacrifice. All we have to do is acknowledge it. And the thing that's so wonderful about it, we, without an understanding of Christianity and the grace of God, are continually trying to make up that failure that we have had in life. How many people messed up last week? I'm going to ask you again, how many people messed up last week? Good. Because you can't be in the club unless you mess up. How many people are going to mess up next week? Well, that's, but I know you and you know me, so probably the thing about this, how many people are getting better at it? Right. All right, that's the important thing. The understanding is that we will not stand before God for what we have done wrong. And that's a wonderful news. And a lot of people are just trying to get God's attention by trying to be good, trying to make sure that we don't make the mistakes. And whatever. That's good. That's what we want. But not because of judgment, but because of love. We serve God not because he's going to judge us, because he's already judged sin on the cross. We serve God because we don't want to in any way cause his in any despair within him, or we don't want to miss the opportunity to be able to acknowledge that God, we're dependent upon you. And he says, when you make a mistake, confess that it was wrong, get up and get on down the road again. But if you love the Lord, and that's what happens when you're not afraid of the Lord any longer, then you can take the step of becoming into that relationship of love with him. Because he's trustworthy. And when you trust someone, you're willing to step out into the unknown of saying, Lord, not only are you my Savior, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. And the Lord says, I will guide and direct your steps, and I'll show you some other areas, because I want you to see this aspect of communion, because it's so very important. But before I do that, if we're not going to be judged for sin again, it's already been judged, what are we going to stand before Bema judgment for? We're going to stand in God's presence, and you know what he's going to say? He's not going to take out the book with all our sins in it. I've had many people say, Pastor, all my sins are going to be revealed, and I'll know every, oh, my gracious, and I'm scared to death. That's not what's going to happen. That's the great white throne. What we are going to be judged for is, you ready? What have you done on earth with the blessing of the Holy Spirit that God gave to you? We're going to stand before the Lord, and there's going to be crying for a short period, right? And why would there? He says he'll wipe away the tears from our eyes. And that's why I've been banging on you for this last year. We don't want anybody from Celebration to be crying up there. The tears are going to be what you could have done had you understood what the Word of God is for you. We'll have an opportunity to see the potential that God, our destiny. What did you do with the destiny that I created you for? And you're going to see it. And you're going to say, oy vey. He's Jewish, you can say that. Oy vey. If I'd only known. Well, I'm telling you. Jesus is going to say, we'll take our life, and some people are going to think it's like this. Look, I'm just bringing to you, Lord. I can hardly carry it. And the Lord goes, whew. Now let's just blow out the hay and the chaff and whatever, and you end up with this little thing like this. And here it is, Lord. He says, wow. And what we're going to do, we're going to put that at his feet and say, Lord, that's my life for you. And he's going to say, dry our tears. And he says, come in. There's no judgment. But what there is the opportunity here on earth. And it's called ministry. And I've been telling you about that you have a calling, you have a ministry, and you have a destiny. They're all wrapped up in that destiny. So that widget that you made last week, and you spent all that time on it, and you polished it, and you did all kinds of things, and you lost your temper, and you went around and was miserable and whatever, but you finally came out with the widget. God says, thank you. But I don't need widgets in heaven. Got all the widgets we want. So, do we stop making widgets? No. You know what we do? We do everything for the glory of God. You go to that job that you don't like, and you face that manager or whatever it might be that you don't like, and you say, Lord, I'm here. This is my ministry until you change it. Now, I want the glory of God to be revealed through me. Any candidates? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because we could close right here. This day is the day that you have made. And God, I'm rejoicing. I'm going to be the mother. I'm going to be the associate. I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to be the husband. I'm going to be the man of God, the woman of God that you want me today. And that's why I'm where I'm living my life at. How many know it can be done? It can be done. How many know you mess up at it too? But what we do with when we recognize is God says that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and I will give you the anointing that enables you to do far beyond your ability. The anointing is that supernatural release of the power of God through us that enables us to say, I forgive you. Or can I help you? Or I don't take that assault as an offense. Lord, what can I do for that person? Because I know that so many times people who are angry and frustrated and live their life in depression, they're hurting God. And they need help. So instead of being caught up in the turmoil of just sucked into the fire, what we end up doing is we saying, God, here, I'm here for you today. And my purpose is that you would be glorified. And you've heard me say this before. The enemy wants everything he possibly can to try to suck you into the robbery that neutralizes you. Everybody clap right now. Keep clapping. Now drop one hand and clap. not someone else either. You see, that's exactly what the enemy tries. He wants us to wear ourselves out. And the man, the woman of God says, I'm not going to get caught up in that trap because I've got something else that I'm accomplishing here, that I want to see accomplished here, not what the enemy wants. And so often we get dictated by, and people just, how many know the enemy uses people? No looking around, right? He uses people. And those people can just suck the joy right out of you, right? You walk up next to them and you don't have to say anything, just feel like, he uses people. But I'll tell you something, and I've had people call me, thousands of hours of counseling. How do I get beyond this? Let me tell you something. You have to give someone else permission to be able to invade your space, your head. The enemy can't do it unless you give him permission to. And he'll use that enticing. Here, want a bite of this apple? Let's see a chew on this one. Or that person that knows how to ring your bell. How many people have got bell ringers in their life? Just know how to just boing. Next thing you know, what did I say that for? I can't just. You can't. You can't clap. You can't make noise with one hand. Let that person just move air around. The Lord's table, when you look at it from the overview, it reinforces his faithfulness, his ways, his love for us. But I also want you to see something very important. Communion is also to be recognized as a place to declare the power of the enemy has been defeated. This was not just a table that the Lord sat at around and said, here, this is my body. This they understood, because he said, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. He'd also said that your enemy, the power of the enemy, is attempting to try to remove from you. But he says, what I want you to do something is to remember this. And let me share. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, remember the things, everybody say remember, the things that I've done for you in the past, for I am God and there is no one like me. From the very beginning, I told you what would happen long before it took place. I keep my word and I fulfill my promise. Then he says, I know the end from the beginning. Right now, in this verse, he says, I know the beginning from the end, but I also know the end from the beginning. And when I found that verse after many years of just believing the beginning from the end, I found out, you know, the end from the beginning, and I've ministered on that. He already knows the end, and he says, I've got good news for you. You win. The good news is that we win. Is there going to be challenges in between? Yes, there is. But the wonderful thing about it is we win. And what the enemy tries to do and happens to so many families and so many Christians is what they do is they give up. And they never see the breakthrough in their lives. Amen or oh me. Amen. Remember, says. Remembering is very important to the Lord. How many know that when the word says something, it's important. When he says it, When the same thought comes two or three times, that's very important. How about this word remembering is mentioned 189 times in Scripture. 189 times. We see that this part of the revelation of understanding that we literally acknowledge that there is a reinforcement that the Lord is trying to regroup and cause us to think. Remember, I do not want you forgetting things, the Lord says. And that's because we have a tendency to forget. In this process, Remember literally means to rehearse, to recount, to replay, and to remind. I want you to remind yourself, the Lord was saying. Recount what I've thought. You know, that's why it's so wonderful to be able to sit back and just think about what the Lord had done this last 6 months or 2 months or whatever. Or what he did this last month. That's why I really encourage journaling. Write down those things, that what God has done. And when you get one of those low times, go back and look what the Lord has done. Boy, I can remember when I was scared to death over this situation, and he brought me through it. It's wonderful to be able to look at those places and to see the end result. And the Lord says, I want you to know very importantly, I know the end from the beginning. And you know why he says that to us? Why he wants us to be important? Because we don't know the beginning from the end. We don't know what the end is going to be. And he says he may tell you, but most often he doesn't, does he? What does he say? I know. I know. I know what the end is. I don't want you being afraid. I don't want you being anxious for nothing. I don't want you allowing the enemy to rob the Holy Spirit within your life. I know the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And he says, now just walk. One foot in front of the other, allowing the Lord to be able to deal. So that's what that means. Now, the power of communion is to remember. The power of communion is to remember. It's to remember his ways. I'm going to do this very quickly. To remember his ways, how he does things. Also, it's to remember his faithfulness. When we come around the communion table, and as I said, you can do this at McDonald's too. Hold up a Big Mac and say, this is my body which is broken for you. That's what that was all about. It's not this religious kind of stuff. It could be anything. It's when you gather together. The reason he said it, he made it around food, is because he knows you're probably going to eat. And fellowship with the family in unity together was always around a meal. There was a communion that took place. And you look at what's happening today in the world, in this nation, where I don't know how many families sit down and eat together. Very, very few is right. I remember when I was growing up, the meal at night, dinner, everybody was there. And we shared. No boob tube, no radio on. We shared what went on during the day. It didn't happen to me until we got to Illinois, which everything was, my kids. But it was still tough. And that whole family establishing communication time has been lost. And if we can just grab somebody around, you know what, just come on, everybody sit down and pop something in the microwave and sit down and whatever, because we got to go take this one off. This got to go over here. I have an appointment meeting tomorrow. I got to go work. And the Lord says, it's important that when you do these things, you remember me. And that's why we've forgotten so much about the Lord, is because we've not remembered him. But it doesn't have to be some religious ritual. Just saying grace. Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for what you did this day. Bless this food. I remember what was the Catholic thing. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's what we had to learn. Right? I could say that without even thinking of anything other than the food. So that's what we say. Prayer is talking to God. Lord, thank you for what you did for my sons, for my grandkids today. Thank you for the opportunity to see answers to prayer. Remember those things. His faithfulness. Also, his promises. God's faithful to his promises. I could preach on each one of those things, but I need to get to this one point that I'm dealing with. Also, his commitment to us. It's a place to remind us that he is committed to us. He's committed to do everything that is possible to enable us to accomplish what he created us for. His love for us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loved him, loved us so much, loved you so much, that the only thing that was more precious to him, let me just say this, something you were more precious to him than losing his son. How do you like that? His most precious possession, he said, I am willing to give that up to reinstate your relationship with me. Because I cannot live without you, God says. I created you. And I need something to show my love because I am love. And because you are separated, we're separated from me, I cannot release that love to you because you have chosen to reject me. What can I do? What can I do in order to meet the holiness of what I am required, what I require in our relationship when you have failed and you've made mistakes and that separates me from you? Because God can't stand in the place of where there is anything other than holiness. What are we going to do? I can just hear Jesus. We don't understand the Trinity, but I can do it shortly, but I'm not going to do it. Figure it out yourself. Jesus says, I'll go. I will meet the requirement of this whole process of Robert. I'll meet whatever is required that you require of Robert. I will meet that, and we will redeem him back into that relationship with us. Father, I'm presenting you Robert. That's love, folks. And so when you think you're out there on the boondock trying to figure it out, like you're pond scum or whatever it might be, the most incredible thing that God had, he came down to earth, sacrificed himself for us. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And we see his faithfulness, his love for us. But it's also something very important. And that is, he has defeated, the power of communion is to remember that he has defeated the enemy in and through our lives. Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We have authority over Satan. Psalm 136, verse 24, and he freed us from our enemies. Matthew 16, 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do this in remembrance of what I've just told you. Amen. Revelation 1, 17 and 18, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. Alpha the Omega. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I'm holding the keys of death and the grave. I know the end from the beginning. Death is sin. The grave is separation from the Lord. I held the keys that kept you in prison, that the devil put you in there and locked the door. Because you followed after him and not me. I have the keys. I took them back. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon formed against you will prevail. And then Revelation 12 and verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, and you're going to see one of the areas of the elements is the cup. This is the cup of my salvation, the new covenant. One of the aspects of the cup is that he has defeated the powers of the enemy in your life and through your life. He says, and when you do this, remember that the powers of the enemy is defeated. Hallelujah or something? So communion is not just about knowing about his faithfulness, his love, his commitment to us. It's also one of the aspects of communion that he wants us to remember is that the powers of the enemy have been broken in your life. So with the process, sickness has been defeated. Robbery has been defeated. Fear has been defeated. Discouragement has been defeated. Addictions have been defeated. Divorce has been defeated. Hopelessness has been defeated. Satan, your enemy, and his lies against you have been defeated. Anytime that you feel like you're caught up in one of these things, go over and take a little bit of cracker or whatever and say, Lord, I'm doing this in remembrance of you. The enemy hates the understanding of the Lord's table or communion because he remembers. He remembers. And when we gather, and if you want information, then let me know. Call the office and we'll get you the personal communion that you can follow through on. Extremely important. This is an incredible weapon, not just of understanding God's love and that we are forgiven, but also it's a tool to bring us to the understanding again, remind us that the powers of hell have been defeated in our lives. This do in remembrance of me, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And those that Christ sets free are free indeed. Sickness. I've watched people get healed. When I go to visit people in convalescent homes and whatever, I take communion with me. Right, Frank and Nishika? And you were there when we were ministering to Alan. Communion is an incredible tool because what it does, it enables us to remind God of what he said. He said tongue in cheek. And that understanding that, Lord, this is an incredible tool. And it's very simply, Lord, I do this to remember you. Now, if you don't have communion, then do the remembering part of it. Very, very, some of the, and again, you don't have to have grape juice or wine. You don't have to have matzah or whatever. One of the greatest communions that I ever took was in Argentina. It was with orange juice. And I said, you can't have communion with orange juice and a muffin. And I had some of the most powerful people, Christian leaders, and we sat down at the table and said, we're going to have communion. I expect, you know, with the silver and the things and the chalice and all that kind of stuff from my background, orange juice and a muffin. And I said, are we allowed to do that? And I tell you, it was a powerful visitation. The Lord is not bound up in the legalism, but in the symbolism. So all of this, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he spoke to his disciples. John, we're going to take communion together. And I want you to hold the elements so that we can take together. Like, just say this is Sunday morning brunch around the table. He spoke this at the last with his disciples. Remember these things when you come to the communion table. What I want us to do is to approach the table, and this is another verse that's really cool in Hebrews. let us approach the throne room or the table of throne of grace, which is the communion table, with confidence so that we may ask for and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many people are in a time of need? Yeah. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to approach this thing with an anticipation that we're going to get what we ask for. But you don't have to question it, because I said do this to remember what I've already said. And I want you walking in that victory. I want you understanding that, that as you are free, then you can be an instrument to set the captive free. Amen. This is the part now. I'm going to go ahead, guys. Why don't you come, ladies, whoever's helping. Take one of the cup and the bread. Let me have one just to hold it there. There we go. Lord, I just bless these elements in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, the truth of what you're teaching us will be made real to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can imagine sitting around the night before Jesus is about ready, and again, hold the elements and I'll lead you through. The night before he was about to go to Gethsemane, where he knew that there was going to be agonizing, that the next day he would be scourged and taken before Caiaphas, the high priest, and accused of blasphemy. And they tried to set traps for him so that he would be blasphemous. And that was a no-no for any Jew. But he was God, and he couldn't lie. I am what you say I am. And they just had a conniption. But before all of that, he's about ready to go. The disciples did not, they're somewhat clueless, like I talked about Pentecost last week. And he says, guys, this is the last time we're going to be together here. I have to go. But I want you to know, for 3 years you've been walking with me, and I've been teaching you, and you've seen the miracles, and you've seen the Father's compassion, and you've seen what this is all about in this Jewish history where you come from, that it's about God's love and redeeming the world, and it's going to be through you guys. I want you to remember this when you get weak. When they put you in jail or something happens, I want you to remember this. When you're going through a time where it seems like everything's against you, or you're not in any way moving forward in life and everything looks discouraged, you feel like things are out of control, what I want you to do is remember what I told you, and we have it in His Word. That Paul tells the story. He was caught up. He was not one of the 12. He received personal revelation. And you can read about it in the book of Acts. So he's in Corinth, which is by Greece. And he says this. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, And he just like this. This is my body. And they understood this was a point of reference. And he did this. My body will be broken for you. And they knew that because he gave his body as a sacrifice, that they no longer had to sacrifice. And I want you to remember this, guys, he says, because I'm not going to be here with you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to remind you that my body was broken for you so that you don't have to be broken. I'm going to finish this. It says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it and remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he returns. The cup, it was a cup of wine. And just like he picked up the bread and he broke it, he says, this, right? And the Jews knew. He says, this is a representation of my blood. And the Jews knew that in order for any sacrifice to be completed, there had to be a shedding of blood. That's the covenant relationship. And he says, this represents cleansing for you. The forgiveness, reminding forgiveness of your sins. It also reminds that this, because of the shed blood, the powers of hell have been defeated in your life. And he says, this, do this to remember me. For every time that you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes back. And that, for a long period, and I've shared with you, been to celebration, but for those online, if you don't know this, I didn't like that. I thought that was a mistake. I don't want to remember the Lord's death. I want to remember his resurrection. I don't. For every time you do this, you remember the Lord's death, until the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I went back to the original language and I found out the cross is where he died, right? It's the plus sign. That's what I used to call it. I call it, it's the plus sign. Because at his death, everything comes into being now. Everything that he has said has been fulfilled now. And the cross is empty. But what we understand is that by his death, we have been set free. We no longer have to try to grovel to be in the Father's presence. We don't have to live as second-class citizens. We don't have to allow our children to be manipulated by the world or our marriages to be messed up. We don't have to give in to the powers of the enemy that are basically, where the rest of the world are nothing but great big targets. The enemy hates the death of Jesus Christ. Because that's where he lost. And he says to us, remember that he has lost in your life, in your family, in any aspect, and every aspect. Remember those things. And then he says, you have access. You have access to every aspect. His forgiveness, health, encouragement. Because of his death, because he says, every time you do this, I want you to remember, this is what I have for you. Whatever you need, hope, wisdom, peace, provision, freedom, new infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because I have completed this, you have access to whatever part of my nature that you need. Let me tell you, that's good news, folks. And the powers of the enemy, by our taking the elements, we know now that whatever you were going through, whatever the enemy is chewing on you for, whatever fear, whatever that might be, Jesus says, remember, I have defeated it. And you now become my instrument because you walk in freedom. Now just bow with me. We're about ready to receive. Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the bread that means sustenance. It means life. This is where we get. Bread is where it nourishes our body. Do we need deliverance? Do we need healing? Do we need peace? Do we need hope? Do we need encouragement? It's here in the bread. Whatever area of need that you may have, bring that to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's receive together in Jesus' name. Take the bread. That is an outward sign of our saying, Lord, I believe. I believe. I remember you as my provider. The cup represents, as I said, forgiveness of sins, the authority that you have against the enemy. It's the life. The life is in the blood. What area that you might have need right now, if the enemy's giving you a hard time, the situation, that authority, Lord, I take authority over that in my husband's life, my wife's life, my children's life. I take authority over that spirit in my life. And I receive deliverance and wholeness and completeness in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. Now, I just want you to take a moment to sit before the Lord. Right now, the dynamic of that same Last Supper, you have entered into its fullness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for healing. Thank you for hope. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember as a Catholic boy, and I love my Catholic background, I used to feel so good coming out of confession. It was cool. I mean, like, God, if you're going to take me now. Because you just felt like, I just entered into, wow, I've been forgiven. I feel new. I feel empowered. And you know what I felt? I had God's attention for a short little period of time. because I knew I was going to mess up again. And I'd go back in the pew and I'd say my penance. And I'd say, because you had to do something. And I say my penance and I said, it's just like breathing fresh air. How many people know what I'm talking about? Catholics back and those online, yeah. And it made me just feel so good. I pleased the Father. I pleased you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. What you just did right now is exactly that. Exactly that. And you should feel good. Because you're standing in God's presence right now. He's here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to stand with me right now. Turn to somebody and say, boy, you look good. There was a song. Now, this is an up one again. Last week, if you weren't here, I've been teaching on the area of defeating the enemy. And this song is something that I came across, and it literally makes fiction, right? Where there's no penance. Hallelujah. There's no penance. So let's go ahead. It's Our God Reigns. Let's go ahead and turn this on. Again, it's upbeat.
Declaring his reign and his rule. Because they might be weak, but you might be strong, and they might need to hear your praise. Come on, keep it up. Keep your voice lifted. Don't just praise him with your hands. Praise him with your voice. Say, Jesus, you reign. And God, if you reign, that means you're going to do something in my life. That means you're going to do something in my school. That means you're going to do something in my family. You reign. You don't just reign at awakening. You reign in my city. You reign in my house. You reign in my church. You reign. You reign. You reign.
Forever your kingdom reigns.
God reigns, and He wants to reign over every aspect. That's R-E-I-G-N, right? Over every aspect of our lives. And if we will allow Him to do that, we will walk in that victory. This was another song that it's wonderful how the Holy Spirit just orchestrates things. And this was a song that we want to end on with. So our God reigns. Let Him reign. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, we thank You again that You do reign, that you are the reigning God, and Your reign will never end. And You have said, remember these things. Remember that I have given You victory. Remember that everything was accomplished, that You can walk in that victory and live that abundant life that I've purposed for You. And I pray that for my brother and my sister, God, the fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit, the release of peace, and everything that's necessary to walk in that victory. Let your neighbor's hands go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I pray right now, let there be a fresh revelation of remembering that when You say it is finished, that God, everything in our lives that would attempt to be robbed, every area that would attempt to be distracted, no longer has any effect as we lay hold of Your provision. And we claim that together. Receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon you. Establish the work of Your hands. Yes, establish the work of Your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have an awesome, awesome week. Amen.
I can see this is not my home. Can you hear it now? From inside these stone walls, my heart cries out, I'm not where I belong. No matter what they do, my heart belongs to You. I'm free. Oh, the hands that hold the world have set me free.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.